Me, David. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Martian Madness. And if you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science, you'll find more episodes in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio because, after all, you won't have internet access as you trudge the Martian landscape, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the show. Oh, and do you have a comment, a criticism, maybe a suggestion? Well, toss in some faint praise and then email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Okay, Mars, don't hang up. I wrote you a song. You.
Well, as good as that song might be, we're not going to hear it. Right, Chris? Okay. We have with us this afternoon, we have Chris, the head pastry chef at WHFR. I didn't do that right. No, how about Henry WHFR. Ford College? Okay. But we would like to hire you. At any rate, let's get started in a probably a little bit more organized way. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and I will tell you it's 12:59, so it is time to tell you you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, and we are the station making waves. Been around for 30 years, and we are just getting started. And at 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock on the second Tuesday of the month, you hear Impact. And this particular Impact is coming to you live, so bear with us because all kinds of interesting things happen when you do live radio. So we're going to tell you that Impact, if you didn't know, is a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And again, this is live. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And again, this is WHFR Dearborn. I am, again, your host, Lynn, and today we're discussing Henry Ford College's Culinary Arts Program with Chef Chris Jablonski. And it is so wonderful to have you here with us today, Chris.
Well, thanks, Lynn.
Let's try that mic.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
We're still not there.
All right.
Okay. I think I got it.
All right.
Are we there?
It sounds like I can hear myself. I think we're good.
Try this. There we go.
All right, there we go, Lynn. I can hear myself.
You know, there's always a magic button in this radio biz. All right. Again, thank you so much for coming here and talking to us at Impact. And I'll tell you what, if there is a group on this campus making a difference for the community, it's definitely the Culinary Arts Program.
Well, thank you.
So many exciting things going on in Culinary Arts, and I know about just a few of them, so I'm hoping you're going to tell us about everything going on.
Everything. Well, that'll take a couple hours to talk about it, Lynn.
All righty. First of all, tell us about you. Who are you?
Well, Lynn, I've been here at the college for the last 6 years. Originally graduated from Schoolcraft College in the Culinary Arts Department, but then was cultured over here to Henry Ford College to teach here with the student body and to advance the program in the sense of baking and pastry for the community around us. And I enjoy it. I truly enjoy it. I've been an instructor for over 20 years now throughout the metropolitan Detroit area, and I'm definitely feeling the impact that I'm creating because I'm having students come back to me many years later saying, thanks for helping me out and setting my life in my way and influencing what they're doing in their future lives.
That is, there's no price.
That's right.
There's no price on that.
That's right.
And anyone who listens to No Boys Allowed knows that we do a recipe at 1 o'clock every Saturday. And thanks for coming in a couple weeks ago, by the way,
no
for
problem,
the
Lynn.
Kale. That was fun. But one of the things I'm absolutely passionate about is, first of all, cooking in general is my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking and gardening, whatever's going on in my head, whatever's wrong in my life, those two things can fix it. And definitely no junk in the food.
That's right.
It's just because the, it's an approved color. The government said that red 40 is okay. Well, it isn't because it's a carcinogen. So when you talk about red 40 and blue 1 and titanium and some of this other nonsense in our foods, caramel color, that's in virtually everything. High fructose corn syrup, that's in everything.
These are
processed items that become chemicals, even
that's
if they started out as real food. But we digress.
Oh, that's all right, Glenn. You know, I mean, prime example would be trans fats, as an example. Many people don't realize much frosting on many cakes are made with fats that were derived as a liquid and then solidified. So the fact is they don't go out of your body, just like margarine. Mm-hmm. Margarine is a processed fat that truly started out as liquid and became a solid, and it'll stay with you. So the fact is that you want to eat natural butter.
Right.
Because it's much healthier for you. Your body will process it, enjoy it, and it'll go out of you.
Yeah. Just one side note on this. I started working with a naturopath, and first of all, they were very unimpressed that I had been a vegetarian for so many years. And second of all, they actually had little posters up in the offices that talked about how wonderful it was to eat lard. Mm-hmm. And you think back to probably 50s, 60s, and it was no lard, no butter. Butter, you know, don't eat the fat on the red meat. These things are all bad for you, although they're all from nature.
That's right.
The one I never believed at all was avocado, that an avocado could be bad for you. But they're avocado, coconut oil, these things are all bad for you. And that's when we started losing primarily males in their 40s, early 50s with heart attacks.
That's right.
And, you know, well, what's wrong? They're all on low-fat diets, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're eating margarine. I can't believe it's not butter. No, it's not. And then we found out that no, nature gives you what it knows how. Nature gives your body what your body knows how to handle.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Okay. Any other nutritional stuff we want to talk about at this point?
Well, we can talk about even in the sense of understanding flours. Since I'm a pastry chef and I deal with flour all the time in my daily life, one of the things that many people don't realize is that here in the United States, we utilize flour that's been bromated, which is actually a process by bleaching the flour and getting to strengthen it again and age it quickly, where in Canada, as well as California and China, they've outlawed the use of unbromated flour, bromated flours.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is when you do an unbromated flour, it's a natural flour that's been aged properly, and it hasn't been chemically altered in any manner.
And that's why you see something that says such and such flour, enriched flour.
Correct.
So everything that's been taken out of it, we're chemically putting back in.
The riboflavin, the niacin, the thyme, and so forth, that's all being added back into the flours and the processing.
Wow. Okay, and I don't see how exactly that does anything good.
Well, in the sense that people are buying white bread, we're used to white bread.
Okay.
And the fact is white bread's not good for you because the body cannot break down gluten itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is now you're starting to see people that have gluten-free diets. They can't handle items like that, and so we're trying to get them now onto whole grain breads. And so we're starting to develop in our culinary arts department, we're developing a very good nutritional line of quality breads that are multi-grain, multi-seeded. It's fiber. It helps your body. It regulates your body. And so we're moving away from the bromated flours and going into the unbromated flours.
I know you're not a doctor, but if you have maybe not a full-blown celiac, but if you have some aversion physically to wheat or something like that, if you do ingest an unbromated flour, is that going to impact you the same way or no?
No. Actually, it's much healthier for you. Your body can actually work with the unbromated flours. But with the bromation, it's the chemicals that are impacting on you.
Wow. Okay. So you think you have an intolerance to wheat.
Right.
When in fact it's the chemicals that have been
put
into wheat. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Once again, a reason to not buy dinner at the gas station.
That's right.
Right. Okay. And you said you've been with us for about 6 years.
About 6 years here on campus. And I'm now officially the pastry chef here at the college, so that's a great exposure there.
Okay.
And I'm helping to develop the program to the next level so that everybody can appreciate that pastry chefs are people that are needed in this campus and throughout this world.
Oh, definitely. I've had some of your desserts. You're definitely needed. Okay. Tell us a little bit about, let's do the academic side first. I understand that there's actually a four-year program here at Henry Ford.
Correct. Starting in January of 2016, the Culinary Arts Department here at Henry Ford College will be offering a baccalaureate degree in business management relating to culinary. So the fact is in 2013, Governor Schneider had signed bills into law allowing community colleges to establish four-year degree academic arenas within a community college setting. So there were four different areas: marine technology, cement technology, culinary arts, three of the four that were indicated that were allowed to go ahead and bring about putting up a four-year degree in a two-year setting.
Okay, now I know for a long while, meaning more than what? Well, probably going back to 13, maybe earlier than that, we had different disciplines that were able to go to like a three-year plan at Henry Ford, and then your senior year mm-hmm. would be connected to another institution.
Correct.
But you're talking about 4 years right here at Henry Ford.
Correct. 4 years currently on campus. They don't have to leave campus at all. They don't have to transfer to another university. They can complete their bachelor's degree here at Henry Ford College.
Okay. That's exciting.
Very much so.
Lower tuition, I would think.
Lower tuition than going to a four-year academic arena in the sense of a university. And so hopefully it'll keep some of our students right here on campus with us, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to get their degrees right from the college and then transfer right into the work industry.
Wow. Do you do any kind of work study where the students are actually out working with hotels as credit or something like that?
We actually have internships as well as co-op positions available.
Okay.
We do work with hotels and country clubs and restaurants throughout the metropolitan Detroit area that allow our students to go in and work with them and be able to do a shadowing and work for them and eventually lead into full-time job positions for our future, our graduating students, I should say.
Oh, that's definitely exciting.
Yes.
The co-op positions, then there's some pay involved, too.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
That, too, is exciting. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the students. Who are the students in culinary?
Well, we've got a wide range of ages of students that we're teaching. We have postgraduates from high school coming on board, first time going to college. We have folks that are coming back to college after a second career because maybe their jobs have changed or their industries have changed, and they're looking to carry on to something else that they can transpose into. So our age bracket is probably about 18 to about 50, maybe 60 years old. Mm-hmm. I know many years ago we had a student come in that was 81 years old, and he just came aboard just to enjoy himself and learn some new techniques.
For the love of the food.
For the love of the food, is right.
Wow.
And so we've got a wide spectrum of students that we deal with, and it definitely impacts how you involve yourself as an educator. Not only do we have to deal with young students, but we also have to deal with the adult learner. So we have to be able to adjust our teaching styles for all these demographics of age to be able to keep them all happy and satisfied so that they'll perform to our expectations but also learn from us so they realize what the industry is all about.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What do the students do?
Well, for our students, we actually offer a 2.5-year program in culinary arts. They go through all the phases of the industry from introduction to the industry to actually running our restaurant, our 5101 restaurant, which is our student-run restaurant here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So they experience all aspects of the kitchen, from prep work to finishing work to actually cooking on a hotline to doing plate presentations for pastries and so forth. So then in the 2.5 years, they move through all these experiences, and they all also can go ahead and apply into a hotel restaurant management degree also. So they can do a dual degree within the 2.5-year time period also.
Hmm. Okay. All right. And so far as the jobs, somebody's working in the kitchen and they absolutely adore that and they really don't like serving. You're still exposed to all of it, but it helps you figure out what you want to do.
That's right. It's putting all the students through the different areas of the kitchen that they are going to experience, not only in the kitchen, but also dealing with the public on the front of the house operations, as we call it. So mm-hmm. they'll be working in the dining room. We also offer a food truck, which is our nutritional cooking standards that we offer to our cafeteria clientele here at the college. But it's a great opportunity for them to even realize what nutritional cooking is about, too.
Mm-hmm. Describe the food truck, because if you haven't seen it, you're not going to get it.
The food truck is our key point for our nutritional side of cooking in the kitchens. And for us, it's an opportunity to present quality food to the students and staff here at the campus, and without having to sit down in a restaurant, but they can come by, grab a great meal, and enjoy a very healthy meal for $5 a day.
Not bad.
You can't beat it.
Right.
And
right.
Now we do have offer a online purchasing, so you can actually go on the Henry Ford Culinary Arts website, pop up the food truck menus to see what's coming in, and you can pre-order your meals, and they'll go ahead and get it ready for you. You just come by and pick it up from us.
Hmm. What kind of food does the food truck offer?
We actually run 5 different menus per semester. We have Arabic cuisine, we have California cuisine, we have, we just went through a Western cuisine. So it's all based on very healthy cuisines, mm-hmm. even Italian cuisine. So the fact is we rotate that every week, and so the menus are completely different every week in the food that's being presented.
Okay, so, and this is open Monday through Friday?
It's open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. during the lunch hour services.
Okay.
From 11:30 till 2 o'clock, and it's a great opportunity to get some healthy meals right here in the restaurant and on our campus.
And that's not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, little kids, when you were a little kid, this is eat it. It's healthy. It's like no, but
that's right.
Healthy is a lot more colorful. It's a lot. It's a lot. There's more texture. It's just
that's
good
right.
food.
That's right.
Okay, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of a particular week, I'm going to see the same menu all 3 days.
Correct.
And then the next week it changes.
Correct.
Are you open only when the 5101 is open, or are you open weeks that the restaurant is down?
Well, in the sense that towards the end of semester, we'll shut down the restaurant, and then the food truck will last about 1 or 2 days later.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we've got in the restaurant alone, just to give you an example, with the 5101 restaurant, we actually run, again, themed menus for every week. So this week coming in, we're doing a Midwestern theme for this week, and then next week we'll be going into Polish Central European themed menu.
Give us an example of the foods on both of those.
In this example, this week coming in, we've got whitefish as an entree. For dessert, an apple frangipane, actually a poached pear frangipane tartlet with vanilla ice cream, homemade vanilla ice cream. Okay, so the fact is, with the Eastern European menu, which would be Poland and Eastern European, it'll be more of hearty soups like borscht and so forth. So we'll be dealing with some more comfortable foods for people to enjoy.
Right. Well, they say it's getting colder. So,
that's right.
A good root soup is always a good thing.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay. With regards to the lay of the land, if you will, out here, there is a Skylight Cafe, which is a cafeteria type. Is that connected to 5101?
No, it's a separate entity. So the Culinary Arts Department runs the 5101 restaurant as well as our food truck. So the fact is our Skyline Cafe is... We're friends.
Okay.
But we're competitors.
You're neighbors, but
yes.
Okay. All righty. Who are you looking for so far as clientele for the 5101? Is this a student-based thing where you're just looking for students to come in, or
we're looking for everybody and anybody? When I say this, our demographics right now are speaking more towards a senior age clientele.
Okay.
But there are outside community members. But we also encourage the students and staff here on campus to come out and enjoy great meals with us. Because as we say in the dining room, come and eat our students' homework. Because truly, it is their homework that they're making, and it's their practicing, they're improving their skills to be able to present in front of the general public and enjoy it.
Okay, and there's a newer item that's been offered at dinner time.
Yes, we are allowed to have alcohol service during the dinner hours. So, with the restaurant itself, we're open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Wednesday and Thursday evenings. So, in the evening hours, we are allowed to serve alcohol within our restaurant facilities. Again, this is part of the new rules and regulations from the state that allow culinary arts departments to go ahead and service alcohol in their own facilities as long as their staffing is trained in alcohol serve safe. So on Wednesdays and Thursday evenings, we do have wines and beers for sales.
Okay. Are the students then trained about pairings?
Correct.
Okay.
Very much so. They understand what wines go with what meal items that we're offering. And so they promote it to help get the customer's understanding of what is good for each course of the dinner.
Okay. Well, that's so you're definitely getting a very, very well-rounded education.
Very much so.
Leaving here and wanting to be a server, I'm thinking you could get into a 5-star.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. We have students this semester that are working at the Detroit Athletic Club, as well as some of the premium restaurants throughout the metropolitan Detroit area.
Okay.
So they are definitely getting some great positions out there.
Yeah.
And many of the students realize that it's because of their education, they've gotten their foot in the door, and it leads into more opportunities for them down the road also.
That is fantastic. So far as amenities for the people coming in for dinner, where are we parking?
We have free parking. It's out front of the security building. So when you come down off of Evergreen Road, come down to the second light from if you're coming northbound on Evergreen Road. And then third driveway in, turn in, you'll see an entrance that says Culinary Arts Parking. And then you'll see a security building immediately on your left-hand side. Proceed there. The gates will be opened up, and you can park within a short walking distance to our restaurant.
Very nice. Very nice. And how many weeks per semester per year is the restaurant actually open?
We actually run it 12 weeks out of 16 weeks.
Okay.
So we have about 3.5 weeks of training with our students to get them comfortable with how to run a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually shut down about a half week, about a week later, in the sense of after we're getting close to the end of semester, so we can do our final exams with them, which are all practical exams.
Okay. And I have to admit on air that I have had a number of meals there, and they've all been spectacular. So that my compliments to all the chefs and the teachers back there.
Well, thank you.
Because, and I've never had bad service. You know, the people that serve are definitely professional in their mannerisms, so that's great. So what happens if I don't like my dinner? I ordered the whitefish, but I thought it was terrible. And who's going to come and make me feel better about that?
We'll let the students know that they can go ahead and bring that to the management's attention.
Okay.
And then we'll talk it through with their chefs and so forth, and we'll go ahead and correct that issue for you.
Okay.
So
will someone come to me at my table?
Certainly will.
Okay.
Certainly they will. They'll come and talk to you and find out what's going on.
Okay.
And then we'll correct that issue and be able to set it up the right way for you.
And figure out if I'd just like to complain.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Very rarely if good food is involved. Okay, we talked about the students, and I understand that you recently took a group of students overseas.
Yes, very much so. This past summer in August, I had the opportunity to take 11 students here from the Culinary Arts Department to China for a 17-day study abroad experience. And it was through the U.S.-Chinese Consulation of People-to-People Exchange Program that we were allowed to experience this great opportunity. And this is all because of John Kerry going over there and networking with the Chinese government to allow Americans to come and study abroad with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the opportunity to travel through 4 different cities and experience the cultures and the cuisines of those 4 different cities.
Oh, my.
So we flew into Beijing, went out to Qingdao, which is on the coast of China. Then we experienced Hangzhou and Shanghai. So the fact was, is for our students, many of them have never traveled outside of metropolitan Detroit. Some have never traveled on a plane in their life. So jumping on a plane for the first time and flying 15 hours to Beijing, China, was definitely a culture shock for them. But they definitely enjoyed themselves while they were there and met many of the friends, because we were allowed to network with 20 Chinese students that were allowed to travel with us throughout the countryside.
Okay.
And be able to network with them, because we'd eventually like to establish with the colleges over in China to be able to do an exchange program, student-to-student exchange,
mm-hmm.
where the Chinese students come to study with us in America, learning Western cuisine, and our students go to China and learn Eastern cuisine.
Ah. What was the most, let's call it unusual thing that you ran into so far as food?
For food-wise, I think some of the unique things for myself, realizing that we were going into a vegetarian diet standard, it was fantastic. It was the fact that I recognized from traveling around the world myself, I knew we'd be running quite a bit, walking quite a bit of distance,
mm-hmm.
Not having the opportunity to say, get on a bus and transport. We enjoyed walking, but on an average day, we were doing about 15 miles of walking, and then all vegetarian-based meals.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact was, whatever we were consuming was being worn off every afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What kind of dishes did you try? That you mentioned vegetarian, but I'm sure it's different vegetable stock.
Some of the things that
we
experienced while we were there were tofu and eggplant. As an example, when we got into Qingdao, which is our second stop, it was very much composed with seafood. So we had shrimp, squid, octopus, squid tentacles, things like that. Some exotic flavors. We even had one meal, they gave us 1,000-year-old eggs, as they called them. And even having eggs that were poached in tea, as an example.
Okay.
So very much so, the cuisine in China is not like the cuisine here in America. When we say Chinese cuisine, it's Americanized Chinese cuisine.
Sure, sure.
When you go overseas and travel throughout these different countries, you experience what truly is their cuisine, locally grown fresh produce, and fresh fruit every day of the year.
Mm. Tell me about those 1,000-year eggs.
Well, it's quite interesting that they actually cook the eggs, and then they bury them in the earth, and then they'll excavate them out.
How long?
They let them ferment, if I remember correctly, about 3.5 months. And then they'll dig them out, and then they'll service them to you.
And this is where it's hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
okay.
Very much so. So it was quite experienced. You know, everybody's like, well, how is it? And I said, well, it was good. It tasted fantastic. It's also cured in salt, so they'll wrap it in a salt bath.
Okay.
So that it actually preserves and pickles the pickle, or pickles the...
So they're shelled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're shelled in. They're on a shell.
They still have the shell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to crack the shell off.
Okay.
But the flavor was quite different from compared to our just hard-boiled eggs.
Right, right.
You know, so.
Can you compare it to anything?
Not really.
Okay.
It's a flavor of its own.
Tasted like chicken.
Not really.
All right. And you were there how long again?
We were there for 17 days, and we traveled through four different cities, plus we went through four different colleges while we were there. So we had an opportunity to experience all these different culinary schools and seeing how they teach their students compared to our teaching styles. And one of the big experiences for myself was the allowment of having myself do pastry presentation of Western style in an Eastern school.
Okay. So you actually cooked, or were you teaching the students at the same time?
I was actually teaching the students, and then I turned it over to become a hands-on activity so that they can experience how to work with our ingredients in the sense of saying,
okay,
working with their flowers, but our, we brought dried cherries from Michigan to China.
Okay.
So they got a chance to see what flavors we were working with and how our breads were different, because in China they believe in steamed breads and not actually baking them to get a crust on them. So they are starting to understand that a little more. So you're starting to see that appear in some of the finer restaurants in China and some of the other facilities that we've gone through.
Okay. All right. What did they think of the cherries?
They loved them. I mean, they have cherries in China, but it's a completely different flavor composition than our American cherries. So to see the population comparing our cities to their cities, walking through a city that had 29 million people in it, and we're talking 750,000 people here in Detroit, it's a different shocking feel.
Oh, sure, sure.
Very much so.
And when did you go?
Beginning of August through mid-August.
Okay, so it's been a couple months.
Yes.
Have you had any contact with any of the students or
some of the students that went with us that traveled over from Henry Ford College are still in contact with the students, and they're on day-to-day based conversations through Facebook and other social medias.
Wow.
So.
And that's open communication
very
without
so.
The government helping.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's surprising a little bit to me.
Very much so. I mean, I was surprised that some of those Chinese students had Facebook pages up.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be monitored, but the fact is they're still at least communicating with people outside their areas.
Okay. So teens are teens.
That's right. That's right.
All righty. And the overall purpose of the trip itself was the sharing, the teaching?
It was the sharing. It's the teaching. It's building relationships with the other culinary schools in China because they would like to establish an international exchange program.
Oh, wow.
So we could actually send our students overseas to study in China and have their students come to the United States and study with us.
And they could make 10,000-year-old eggs in their
That's
backyards
right.
here. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Any plans for any other trips?
There's some plans being worked upon. We're looking to possibly go overseas, not even sense of overseas, but traveling up to Quebec or Montreal. And even just traveling to New York City and Chicago, just taking our students to other parts of this country to see how different the cuisine is in different parts of this country.
Well, New York is one of those areas that's known for its food, too.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
New York,
oh.
Philadelphia, I mean, Chicago, L.A.
Yep.
So,
California, yep.
Yep.
Wow. Texas barbecue?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, we'll head down to Austin, Texas.
Okay. tell me some of the other things going on with culinary. I mean, you've broken some rules.
I wouldn't say we're breaking rules. I think we're
boundaries.
We're setting some new boundaries
there
here on campus.
Go.
We
okay.
actually have established our own fresh herb garden.
Mm-hmm.
We're also doing our own organic composting of all of our vegetable scraps and so forth. So that we're utilizing what we're considering garbage and turning it back into healthy material for the soil. And so we're establishing our own herb garden here on campus. And so it's a great opportunity for our students to realize where product comes from and actually be able to go out into the garden and pick fresh herbs and come right back to the culinary department and cook with those great quality herbs without any pesticides on them and so forth.
Right. And that also, I would think, would be some sort of cost savings for the college.
Very much so.
Because you're getting rid of all that stuff that would go into a landfill.
That's right.
And it's becoming, you know, back to the earth product.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
coming
right.
into that.
It's saving on the cost of shipping product out or buying product in. So it's definitely putting a big savings for the college.
Wow. That's really exciting. Talk about the vermiculture. I don't know if everybody knows what that means.
Vermiculture is actually utilizing red wiggler worms for composting purposes, especially during the winter months when the earth freezes up. You can still do composting through the winter months. What you do is you actually create a inside environment, inside of a closed box that you incorporate shredded newspaper, vegetable scraps, coffee grounds, eggshells, and red wiggler earthworms, mm-hmm. and a little bit of crushed up stone. And the worms will actually continue to break down that material and turn out compost at the other side, mm-hmm. as well as what they call worm juice. And the worm juice is full of nutrients for plants, so you can actually package that up and utilize it in the springtime to get your garden started with a real good nutritional fertilizer from earthworms. Mm-hmm. And they'll actually breed every 30 days and keep increasing their population. So once they go through a product and you realize that it's been broken down, you can add in more shredded newspaper, more vegetable scraps, and they'll keep multiplying. And if they start seeing, if you see a decrease in the number of worms in the activity, it means the worms are dying off and they're becoming compost.
Okay.
So all you have to do there is just feed them again and get them going the right way, and they'll remultiply, and you'll have vermiculture going all winter long.
Wow. So it's 20 degrees in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Everything's frozen.
Yep.
And the worms are still cooking.
They're still inside, yeah. They're still working at it. I mean, you can actually even put up a small, what's classified as a hoop house, and the worms will continuously break down that soil and keep working at it. Okay. They may go down deeper into the earth, but you can actually bury food, and they'll come up to it, do their processing, and then they'll go back down into the warm earth again. Because about 6 feet below the earth, we stay at an average of 55 degrees. Mm-hmm. We never freeze out.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is the soil will still be warm, and those worms are still doing their activity in the winter months.
Wow, that's really exciting. Any plans to, you mentioned that there was one herb garden area. Any plans to expand that at all?
Well, we just found out there was another open space that just opened up a couple weeks ago here, right on the building on campus. And we're looking to adopt that as more of our organic garden philosophy.
Wow.
So our students can even see more production coming up and be able to walk out the front door and say, we need some tomatoes. Let's go pick some fresh tomatoes.
That's just so exciting. I mean, you have organic food.
Yes, and it's also teaching our students to realize they can do it right in their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
By getting their even involved with their churches and so forth, they can start out with a small plot of land, and people will get interested. And especially the older generation that knows how to garden will come back to help the young generation out. And next thing you know, you're building relationships with your own community,
mm-hmm.
and you're fostering the new idea of, hey, a garden brings people together.
Yeah.
And it feeds the community. And next thing you know, the community's a lot healthier. They're helping each other out. And next thing you know, the idea keeps blooming out bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually everybody has gardens. And by that point, if everybody's gardening, you'll end up with more production than you can actually process.
Mm-hmm.
So then it turns it over to, guess what? Now we can give it away to a homeless shelter and feed somebody else.
Right, right.
So it's a complete cycle.
So where people go to the lobster tank and point to that one for dinner, you can pick out your tomatoes for your salad.
That's right, very much so.
And those are beautiful tomatoes always. There's nothing like when you go to the store and you see the tomatoes, and even when they say they're homegrown, farm grown, blah, 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 you know, you look. The ones that come from your yard or your neighbor's yard always look and taste so much better.
That's right.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to talk about with regards to the restaurant itself?
Well, with the restaurant itself, we've got some themes coming up. We've got this week, we've got our October 12th week, we've got our Cuisine of the Midwest, which is dealing with the Midwestern part of the United States. And then we've got next week, October 19th, we've got our Polish Central European menu going out. And also on October 29th, we've got our scholarship dinner coming up, which is our annual fundraiser for our student scholarship in the Culinary Arts Department. And this year's theme, we're doing a Italian, French, Chinese fusion menu. So the fact is, it's a little twist of a little of all cultures that have impacted us. And bringing the fact that we did travel to China, we decided to bring back some of that cuisine back into our scholarship dinner.
Okay.
So for the dessert course, I'm working on a yuzu cream with a dragon fruit accompaniment. So it's all Asian flavors going out on the menu.
But I think I need a translation.
Translation, yuzu. Mm-hmm. It's a citrus flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a citrus fruit like a lemon. It's got a very tanginess to it.
Okay.
And the dragon fruit itself, when I was in China, I enjoyed it because it was a very exotic flavor. When you cut it open, the fruit itself is bright pink, but when you crack it open interior-wise, it's white with black specks running through it. And it's got a texture of a, I'll describe it as a grapefruit, but the sweetness of an orange.
Okay.
So it's got a real unique flavor composition to it itself. So we're trying to bring some of those flavors back in from the country there.
Definitely looking forward to that. Yeah. Tell us about the scholarship dinner itself.
Well, the scholarship dinner, it's our fundraiser dinner for the department for our students to come and work. They, not only do they get a chance to work it, but it's an opportunity for our students to experience putting out four-star style cuisine that you'd see in a very high-end restaurant. So the chefs, as well as the students, the chefs help to write the menus, and then the students help to execute the menus. So they'll get to work with some of the things that we don't do on a daily basis in our restaurant services, but they'll actually get a chance to see what it really means to put out a high-quality meal where it's seven courses.
Wow.
And it's themed with also with wine courses with that, too. So they're doing not only the food items, but they're also pairing the wines up so they can sell, you know, mm-hmm. create those ideas with the customers.
Is seating limited?
It's limited to about 100 people.
Okay.
But if we get more than that, we can open up and expand up even more than
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. So okay. you're willing to open those doors.
Right. And the fact is it's only $45 per person, but okay. $15 is the actual cost when you take out. $30 is tax deductible. So it's a great opportunity,
it's
and if you want to get tickets, you can go through the Henry Ford Foundation, Henry Ford College Foundation office, and they'll get you set up with the tickets and get you down here for dinner on the 29th of October.
Okay. Do you have contact information for that, either a web or
sure.
telephone?
Sure. The okay. webpage that you want to go to is www.henryfordculinary.com, and that'll actually get you right into see the whole culinary arts department. And there are connections or links on that site that will link you onto the foundation also.
Okay. And anything else coming up? Anything else big coming
well,
up?
Well, we've got in November, mm-hmm. we've got our annual bake sale,
oh,
which is the 23rd, 24th, or 24th, 25th of November.
That is always an amazing sight.
Which is the Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So
right.
we make the statement, if you don't want to bake, come over to the college and we'll bake for you. So we offer a great variety of pies and pastries in that time period. We will also be putting out web pages on it also so that people can pre-order their items, which helps to alleviate standing in the line and waiting to get the pastry products to go home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I know we had one gentleman come in and said he needed 25 pies to go. And we helped him out, and he's calling us up again and saying, I'm coming back to get some more pies this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit is if you don't want to sit at home and bake up a storm, come to Henry Ford College for the
right.
annual bake sale, and we'll set you up.
Yeah. And what's available? Just kind of a general rundown.
Pumpkin pie, apple pie, cherry cheesecake, vanilla cheesecake, mincemeat pie, as an example. Last year we started doing mincemeat, and it took off like a hot potato. We couldn't keep up with it fast enough because people can't find it anymore, and the older generation likes mincemeat pie.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they're calling us, can we get more mincemeat? Yeah, we'll work on it. So we're definitely pushing out some of the old ideas,
mm-hmm.
but we're realizing that's what our clientele still likes.
All right. And you're making all your crusts by hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's one of our projects for our students to work on. And so it takes us about a week and a half to 2 weeks to produce all the products. But literally 24 hours before the bake sale goes off, we're in the back of the house baking up all those pies.
Wow.
So they're fresh.
Anything else? Breads, rolls, that kind of
breads,
thing?
Breads, rolls, dinner rolls, loaves of breads, and so forth. We'll be producing also for sale
okay.
those on that day.
Okay.
All right.
Any cookies?
There might be some cookies
okay.
out there.
I know you've done some in the past.
Right.
But it's Thanksgiving, so you have to have a pie. There's a rule somewhere. I'm not
right.
sure. Not sure where that rule is, but there's a rule.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's all very, very exciting. And you said more information is coming out about the bake sale.
Yep. They'll be posted out on the HFCC Henry Ford Culinary website.
Which is coming fast. It's only 5 weeks away.
That's right.
Yikes.
Holidays are going to be here before we know it.
Okay, we didn't talk about how to make reservations for just a dinner.
Okay, if you want to, with the restaurant itself, we're open Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for lunch from 11:30 till 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then dinner is on Wednesday and Thursday evening from 6 to 7:45 p.m.
Okay.
And if you want to give a call out and you want to make a reservation, just call 313-206-5101. That's the Henry Ford 5101 restaurant.
Okay. And we talk about that on our shows periodically, too. And the disclaimer is always leave a message, even
right.
if nobody, you know, because your hours are not necessarily regular, quote unquote, over there.
That's right.
But leave a message. Someone will call you back as soon as someone can.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the fact it's a student-run facility. It's our students that are running it. We also have our helping assistants that take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
But we make that time to make sure we call back our customers.
I know your pastry, but one of the changes I noticed this year was the salad bar is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been good, and mm-hmm. now it's really, really great. Would you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. What's happening with our salad bar is we're actually putting together seasonal menu items to go in with that salad bar. So it's just not getting a tossed salad anymore. It's that we're making our own vinaigrettes, we're making all of our own dressings. We're doing a variety of different composed salads that are being presented, such as butternut squash and walnuts and raisins. You know, some very unique flavors that people just are enjoying continuously, and they're freshly made in-house every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the fact is we are working on the salad bar because we know it's a very appreciated item for our customers. We're also incorporating that into our main menu, too, so that we're doing seasonal menu items throughout the items that we create. So it's not the fact we have one item only for the next 16 weeks. We rotate everything. So everybody has a chance to experience different cuisines, different nationalities, and just to have a great appreciation of what we have to offer as a
right.
culinary department.
Yeah. The Oktoberfest did have the cream cucumbers on the menu.
Very much so. Very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a successful event. We do have also a holiday luncheon coming up,
mm-hmm.
which will be closer towards the end of the semester.
Okay.
And that would actually be November 18th would be our holiday buffet.
Okay, so that's right before the bake sale.
Correct.
That's lunch and dinner or just lunch?
That'll be actually lunch and dinner.
Okay.
So that'll be the whole day of the 18th, which is a Wednesday.
Wednesday, so, November 18th.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
And any hints about what might be on that menu?
Not offhand right
little
now.
Little preview?
Not even. I don't even know yet. I haven't even looked at our menus yet ahead
okay.
of
Okay. That's coming up fast, too.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. We talked about so many of the things that you're offering for the community. How do we get the word out there?
Well, in the sense that through us, through the college, we've got our own mailings that we send out from the department.
Okay.
We also have our webpage. We also have social media out there. We also have a Henry Ford Culinary Arts Department Facebook page, too.
Okay.
So we're definitely trying to promote our, and even getting news reports written out there in the sense of paper reports, going to the local newspapers. One of the events that we recently did was the 100th anniversary of the Dearborn Garden Club.
Oh.
They had approached the department to create a birthday cake for the 100th anniversary of the Garden Club, which
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Ford started in 1915. And we said, no problem, we'll help you out. And it was presented at the Henry Ford Estate right next door on the University of Michigan Dearborn
wow.
campus. And coming out of that, there were actually two news articles presented. And just last week, Thursday evening, Chef Joe Christenza, who is our executive chef, actually created a meal downtown for the Eastern Market Development Authority. They had a fundraiser down there for 250 people, and the meal was fantastic. It was all locally sourced Michigan ingredients,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it was a great exposure for our students to experience what, again, a high-end off-site catering position would be. And he took students downtown to Eastern Market and did a fantastic menu down there. Got lots of great rave reviews and was invited to come back again and do another fundraiser with Dearborn or the Eastern Market Development Authority.
Wow, that is really exciting.
Very much so.
Yeah, to get at that level, that is terrific.
Yep.
pardon me. Oh, it's been a while with this cold. Excuse me. You mentioned that there was a mailing list.
Yes.
If someone wanted to be on, is this snail mail, email, or both?
It's both.
Okay.
It's
if someone both. Wanted to be on one of the mailing lists, how sure. would they do that?
Well, what they can do is they can come in. If they come in for lunch or dinner,
mm-hmm.
we do have a form that they can fill out, and they'll get put into our mailing address forms. That way they'll receive our publications anytime we send out. They'll receive them so they know what events are coming ahead, what themes are coming ahead. And again, it keeps them in contact with what's happening here at the college.
Yeah, easy enough.
Very much so.
Okay. Other things related to culinary, the ice carving club comes
very
to mind.
A, ice carving club's going great. We also have a baking club that's tomorrow evening. Myself and some students from the college here will be going down to the parade company to present pastries to about 600 people down at the preview party of the Art Van new float that's going to be coming into the parade.
Ah, okay.
So it's a great opportunity to let our students realize there are other organizations out there that are doing great things for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
to get down and see how they build a float and take a children's or I say a child's idea that was a pencil drawing in elementary school and turn it into a grand float that next thing you know that child is riding down Woodward Avenue and experiencing the warmth and love of the city of Detroit and metropolitan Detroit, that it's a great experience to see how they take a basic drawing, turn it into a life-size figurine, and then create it into a life-size float. So for our students, it's another opportunity to network with people in the community and be able to get their exposure out there and realize, yes, we're a viable college here at Henry Ford College.
You mentioned a baking club. Do you need to be a culinary student to be part of the baking club?
No, you don't. Either the club's baking club or ice carving club, they're open to every student here on campus.
Okay.
So the fact is anybody that's interested in either have an interest in ice carving or baking can come on over to the college. And since if you're a student in the college, you can come to the department. And we do have weekly meetings, both of the department, both clubs.
Oh, okay. Obviously, the baking club bakes.
Correct.
But tell me how does that go? If somebody doesn't know anything at all about baking, you can tell them about temperatures and preheating ovens.
We'll get them all the basic skills to have them understand more about baking, how it actually works. Mm-hmm. And for many of the students, it's a testing of the waters, as we call it, to see if they really want to come to culinary eventually down the road. And we've had some successes like that, where students have joined the bake club, and next thing like, I want to come to learn more culinary. So they transferred over to culinary. And then they maybe complete their other degree and still finish up with a dual degree walking out of the college, too.
That part is just so incredible to me.
Very much so.
Okay, so what time does this club meet?
The Bay Club itself meets from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock every Wednesday in the demonstration lab of the Culinary Arts Department, which is in Building M. So
okay.
It's 121, if I remember correctly, or 125.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. Talk a little bit more, if you can, about the Ice Club.
Sure. The Ice Carving Club, again, they're meeting weekly, and they do learn their basic skills of carving ice. And what they do with the Ice Club is they actually go out and participate in other community events, such as the Plymouth Ice Carving Show. And they also go and compete in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and other locations throughout the metropolitan Detroit, presenting the skills of carving ice. Mm-hmm. So for that group, they've been national champions before with their ice carving skills and so forth, and it's a great opportunity for students to see how much people appreciate looking at something cold, getting outdoors to see the ice, but also realize that it is an art form.
Oh yeah. And they're using, I don't know, if you want to talk about some of the tools. I mean,
sure.
I don't know if people realize chainsaws are involved, irons are involved.
Chainsaws, irons, hand chisels, die grinders. There's all these new technologies that are coming out. The students are learning to create all this great block ice. There's even to the point right now where they can actually do logo designs. So as the example, let's say we wanted to do the WHFMR logo. We could actually cut it into ice and actually make it look exactly like the logo design.
Okay.
So it's being done in by a computer now. So we have gone to technology that we can actually computerize your images into a computer and then let the machine do its work, and then the students make sure it's being done correctly.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Very much so.
We have an event coming up in March. It might be cold enough. Maybe we can get a WHFR logo.
Sure, just talk to Jeff Lau. He'll get you taken care of.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Okay, anything else that's going on with regards to the culinary program itself or any dreams that are out there? There's so much going on.
Well, the thing is, culinary arts is becoming a very hot topic lately because so many people are watching the Food Network. And probably within the last 10 years, the understanding of food has grown quite drastically. So for many people, they're trying to get more interested in what culinary arts is about, not only from the sense of learning their basic skills, but learning how to become an entrepreneur and be able to be on their own. And for many of our students, when they step up and say, I want to be my entrepreneur, I said, realize it's 24 hours a day, seven days a week, 356 days out of the year. You don't have vacations then. And if you do take vacations, I hope you've got good staff working with you, that when you come back, your business isn't gone somewhere else. So the fact is, culinary arts is branching out so far in different ways. And with the fact that we're getting our four-year degree program starting in January, that's going to open up a lot of doors for our students to realize that completing your associate's degree, going on to your bachelor's degree, it's one step in the ladder that you're going to take. As part of the program, our students graduate with a certified culinarian degree when they walk out the door through the American Culinary Federation, which is a association that we are all involved with, the college and as well as the department. And it is a recognized organization of about 25,000 professional chefs. So every year they offer different regional meetings as well as local meetings and national meetings. So if a student wants to go get a job, they can actually network with people from California, Chicago, New York, different parts of the country, and they can bring their resumes, talk to these people, be offered jobs, and be taking on jobs throughout the country.
Recently, Impact spoke to Chad Austin, and I'm thinking that you must work with him at some point, that the departments are working together.
Very much so. I mean, he's our job liaison in the sense of networking with different corporations, different restaurants and hotels throughout the metropolitan area that are looking for staffing. And so we are heavily locked in with that gentleman to help get those students into those jobs and give them those opportunities. Say, take an opportunity, run, because guess what? The opportunity is in front of you. Enjoy it and take advantage of it.
He had mentioned, too, that once you, as long as you're a student or once you graduate, you have a lifetime resource right there.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. And that's some of the things that our students are realizing, that even if you graduate and go out in the workforce and say things have changed, you can come back to the college and go back to the resource offices and be able to ask for more help, and they'll give it to you, and they'll get you taken care of. So even coming back to talk to us as chefs, it's one of the greatest things to see our graduates come back and say, here's where I've been, this is how successful I've been, and present them in front of our students to have them realize the golden opportunities are there. So you've just got to take advantage of them and enjoy them.
Well, what you've talked about this afternoon would lead one to either a serving, a cooking, a management, even a travel liaison type of function. I mean, and that's just a few.
That's right.
Based on what we talked about
today.
That's right.
I mean, you could be a private chef for a family that they're traveling around the country, and it's like being an au pair where you're raising children. But as a private chef, you're traveling with that family all over the world, and you're actually cooking for those families. Being an executive chef, being a research and development chef, there's so many different avenues that people can open up to. Even being a food photographer and being able to write a good article. Some people are great in writing English and be able to write a great article about food and photograph it, and now you're being a published article author of writing a good food article. Next thing you know, you've opened up your own self to a blog, to internet connections and so forth, so it definitely can lead into many more opportunities.
Right, and in even things you might not even think about.
That's right.
So many things you might not even think about.
Sure.
So there's a lot going on there.
Very much so.
Okay, where are we going next with culinary at Henry Ford?
Well, we're continuously improving our program. I know starting in March we have a ACFEI accreditation again coming on board. So we'll probably pass that with flying colors, which will
you need to translate that too.
Yeah. American Culinary Federation Educational Institute.
Okay.
It is a recognized organization, again, that comes in and evaluates our program to see if we meet their criteria to carry their title with us.
Okay.
And so in March of this next year, they'll be coming on board to come through and do a review of our program. And if we do get our approval, which we should, we'll hopefully land up with our exemplary program, which will give us an accreditation for 7 years.
Wow. What are they looking for?
Well, they go through and they look at the educational skill sets that we're training our students on. It's set up by the American Culinary Federation. It's standards that they have that require us to present to our students, understanding not only basic food cooking skills, but also managerial skills, mathematics skills, the whole gamut of the industry. So it's all components that they have to look at.
How does SurfSafe enter into the program here, or does it?
Well, it does. It's one of our very first classes our students have to take.
Okay.
We actually ask them to do an introduction to hospitality, understanding what the hospitality industry is about. Because as here in Michigan, it's the second largest employer in the state of Michigan. So the fact is, even with SurfSafe, it's a training program that's recognized by the National Restaurant Association, the NRA. And they actually set up the standards that have to be met by the students. And if you pass it with a 70% or greater, you are certified as a nationally recognized sanitarian, in the sense of being able to be recognized that you're understanding what sanitation is all about. And you carry that recognition for 5 years. So every 5 years, everybody that's certified has to be recertified every 5 years. So it's a benefit for making sure that your restaurants are being properly maintained and kept healthy, so you don't get any foodborne illnesses out there and cause issues with other people.
We did, excuse me, I'm sorry. We did talk a little bit, I mean, you used the word sanitation. So I know if you go into any restaurant, high level, low level, anything in between, you do see that little certificate on the wall.
That's right.
It's required by law that it's posted.
Yes.
When you're talking about SurfSafe, you're talking about knowing things like the temperature danger zone is something we talked about on No Boys Allowed as we were getting into the barbecue season. And a temperature that's too high or too low can absolutely kill you.
Well, that's right. And the fact is for many people, if they get food poisoning, as an example, it could actually take a person out. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, what I'm saying is that young children that don't have their immune systems built up are viably potential victims,
right.
Or the elders, because their systems are slowly shutting down,
right.
So they can be also victims of food poisoning.
Right.
So the fact is properly maintaining food from receiving it to actually processing it to presenting it to our customers, it's very much a requirement of all chefs to be doing that,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that our food is healthy and maintained properly so that our guests enjoy a great meal and they're able to take care of themselves and be able to feed them properly through our standards and be able to have them recognize that, yes, we're helping take care of them.
As a school, do the inspectors ever just sort of pop in?
Certainly they do.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, they'll pop in and check all our standards out to make sure that we're meeting their requirements of mm-hmm. the Wayne County Health Department and to be able to maintain them properly so that they look around, check all of our students, check us as instructors out, make sure that we're doing everything properly to what is required by them by law. So it is definitely an expected but unexpected event to occur,
mm-hmm.
but it keeps us on our toes all the time.
And I wanted to make a comment. I thought about it a little while ago. When you talk about going into the 5101 for lunch or dinner,
mm-hmm.
Not only is it a pleasant room, but we're talking about linen
That's right.
cloths and linen napkins.
That's right.
And the napkins change colors with seasons, with menus, that
That's
sort
right.
of thing. And first class operation.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thank
yeah.
you. It's all part of our training to have our students understand what, you know, high style cuisine is about, as well as casual dining with an upscale feel.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Contact information one more time that we
sure.
might need.
Sure. If you want to get in contact and make a reservation for the 5101 restaurant, the phone number is area code 313-206-5105. And the webpage that you can go on to is www.henryfordculinary.com. And that'll connect you with all the leads as to the menus for the food truck as well as the dining room, and including when we get our holiday luncheon, or say our holiday bake sale menu out, you'll be able to open that up and do our pre-reservation for those items and put our orders in. So again, it's the phone number 313-206-5101, and the webpage is www.henryfordculinary.com.
Okay, and with regards to the bake sale, you're welcoming orders. You mentioned one gentleman came in with a large order, but
sure.
you're welcoming orders for churches, for large families?
Very much so. Very much so.
Okay.
I mean, we do have a cutoff date when our menus are cut off. Mm-hmm. Say this is all we can accept as production.
Mm-hmm.
But then we tell everybody that calls in after that, just come on down, and there's more than enough product to enjoy.
We'll see what's left.
That's right.
Okay. Chris, thank you so much for being here today with Impact. And thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And this is WHFR Dearborn. Coming up next, we'll be back in just a minute, and it's time for the WHFR Neighborhood News from Henry Ford College's TCM 261 class, and that's the broadcast journalism class.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the WHFR Neighborhood News. From HFC's broadcast journalism class, I'm DJ, and now here's news from your neighborhood. Dearborn Heights residents are taking steps in crime prevention. Here's Deontay Hunter with the details.
The Dearborn Heights community members will be working with police to organize a crime prevention walk. According to the Dearborn Heights Light the Night 2015 program, the walk will be used to take a stand against crime while working together to resolve issues. At the event, discussions will be held on issues such as crime statistics, crime prevention, and other concerns of residents. Crime prevention officials and program members will be making appearances to ensure all given questions and concerns of the people are answered. The event will take place at 6 p.m. Wednesday at St. Albert the Great in Dearborn Heights. Deontay Hunter, WHFR News.
Two teens were arrested due to threatening tweets of bringing a gun with intent to fire in the hallways of New Boston Huron High School. Jose Yanis has the story.
According to the Detroit Free Press, Police Chief Everett Robbins said his department was called in after a teacher spotted the post in which a 16-year-old student planned on bringing a gun to school. Police made contact with the student at his home and took him into custody based on the threats. No weapons were located on the boy. He was taken to the local police department. The teen was released on a $1,000 personal bond after hearing in juvenile court on a charge of disturbing the peace, while the other teen will be placed in the 34th District Court Juvenile Division Program. For WHFR, I'm Jose Llanos.
Two people are dead and one is in critical condition after a late-night accident Sunday. Marvin Harris of Detroit crashed into a road construction truck in a closed lane and killed one worker and put another in the hospital. Harris and worker Rafael Castillo Saavedra were both pronounced dead at the scene while an unidentified worker remains in critical condition. The Detroit News reports they were road work prevention road closures during heavy traffic times. The Michigan Laborers District Council is reminding motorists of the danger of construction site accidents. A man was shot and killed in a Home Depot parking lot after a fender bender Monday morning, according to the Detroit Free Press. The shooting happened at 10:04 on Detroit's west side, according to police officer Nicole Kirkwood. The victim and the suspect were in the Home Depot parking lot when an altercation occurred between the two of them. They both pulled out of the parking lot, and the suspect drove up to the passenger side of the victim's vehicle and began firing shots, striking the victim. The suspect, described as a black male between 30 and 40, fled the scene, driving a silver Chevy Silverado. Kimberly Pappas pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in the death of her newborn child. According to the News Herald, on March 31st, Pappas gave birth to a newborn child at her workplace bathroom in Redford. Pappas claimed that she thought her child was a stillborn and proceeded to seal the baby in a plastic bag near her work desk. Prosecutors said the baby was in fact alive with autopsy and toxicology reports in agreement. Due to Pappas' plea, she would be sentenced to 9 to 20 years in prison on October 26th. Royal Oak faced its first homicide this year as a 50-year-old woman was found dead early Monday morning. The police arrived after receiving a call from the woman's neighbor at 2:52 a.m. The investigation is currently ongoing, and Royal Oak's police department is still looking for information and possible witnesses, according to the Detroit Free Press. A trial date for next year has been set for graffiti artist Shepard Ferry for his September 1st malicious destruction charges. Ferry is accused of putting his famous Obey logo on multiple Detroit buildings. James Bazzi has more on the story.
Ferry, 45, was hired last year to put a mural on the east side of Campus Marses, but didn't stop there. He plastered his logo on four more buildings, including the historic Wurlitzer and Vanity Ballroom. The damages are estimated at $20,000 on the privately owned buildings, the Detroit News reports. Ferry has a hearing set for December 20th and will go to trial on January 26th. James Bazzi, WHFR News.
$25 million is the goal for Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy's cause. Worthy is raising funds to investigate rape kits that were found abandoned in a police warehouse back in 2009. The most recent fundraiser lies in college football. Worthy was approached by a Michigan State graduate who suggested the Spartans face off against the Wolverines as a means to raise money. Worthy said yes and offered to be the quarterback for her alma mater, U of M, according to the Detroit Free Press. In addition to the game, the African American 490 Challenge, an organization that raises funds to test rape kits, will be asking for donations during the game this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Spartans, Wolverines, and supporters alike can donate to the cause at aa490challenge.org. Here's WHFR weather for Dearborn and vicinity. Cloudy skies today, temperatures topping out near 60 degrees. Skies clearing overnight and a low of 48. A mix of clouds and sunshine tomorrow and a high once again around 60. Sunny and 70 on Thursday before we cool down for the weekend, when we'll see overnight lows near freezing. Right now it's cloudy and 58 degrees here at Henry Ford College. That wraps up this edition at the WHFR Neighborhood News. I'm DJ. Have a good afternoon, and thank you for listening to WHFR.FM, the station that's making waves.